You are listening to a sermon by Vicar Lael at Messiah Lutheran Church in Seattle, Washington.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, the church year is pretty much built around three major events, Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. Those three events, there are seasons arranged around those events, and Sundays in the church year fall into those seasons. So today, for example, is the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. But during the church year, there are also a whole number of minor festivals that pepper the calendar. And these fall on specific dates, fixed dates, like April 25th, or December 26th, or today, July 22nd, is the feast of St. Mary of Magdala. And so that is how we happen to be reading about the resurrection this morning. Now the story of Mary goes like this. Mary Magdalene is standing outside of Jesus' tomb, and she is sobbing inconsolably because the tomb is empty. Of course, you and I know that if Jesus' body were in the tomb, we would have plenty of reasons to cry ourselves, but Mary is crying because the tomb is empty. She has not yet recognized the signs. A few days before Jesus died, he said to his disciples, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." But Mary hasn't made the connection between those old words and the current reality. So she stoops and looks into the tomb while she's there. Two angels are inside. They're clothed in gleaming white robes. Mary certainly saw them, but the gospel writer, St. John, recorded no reaction on her part. As far as we know, she didn't even notice that they were angels. She missed it. "Woman, why are you weeping?" one of them asks. And she replies with a thought that is fixed in her mind. "They have taken my Lord's body." Mary turns right away to leave the tomb and runs smack into a man. The man is Jesus himself, but Mary does not yet recognize him. She's expecting, it hasn't occurred to her yet to expect a living Lord. She's focused on finding his corpse at the moment. Mary thinks that the man is a gardener. But Jesus says to her, "Mary." And then the moment comes. The eclipse passes. The sun bursts across her memory. And the old familiar face of Jesus, whom she's known for several years, is suddenly matched with the man before her. Recognition. The moment, the instant of recognition. And it happened just as Jesus said it would 10 chapters before. He said in John 10, "The shepherd calls his sheep by name, and they know his voice." Recognition is something that we find essential. The ability to recognize faces allows us to have friends. The ability to recognize patterns allows us to learn. To recognize danger allows us to survive. It took Mary a couple of tries to recognize Jesus, and some people never did. In today's epistle, in the book of Acts, Luke recorded one of Paul's sermons. And in the sermon of Paul's that we read about this morning, Paul said that some people in Jerusalem never recognized Jesus. And because they didn't recognize him, they crucified him. What an awful mistake. every human being, you and me, everyone, has Mary Magdalene moments. You know, when you're on the phone, you answer the phone and you hear a familiar voice, but can't make the connection right away. Or when you're looking at a bunch of information or reading a book and you're just reading the same paragraph over again. It's not clicking. You don't see the pattern. Most of our Mary moments are pretty benign. Something that we just laugh about. But what a tragedy. What a tragedy to have a Mary Magdalene moment at such an important time. What a tragedy to be unable to recognize the thing that is eternally important. What a tragedy to be unable to recognize Jesus. Today's readings about recognition and unrecognition have made me wonder. And I've wondered along these lines many times before. What makes me different? Would I have recognized Jesus? Would you? The Jews in Jerusalem did not recognize Jesus because they expected him to be a king. They didn't recognize the Son of God that Isaiah said would have no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. And me, I've been raised on pictures of Jesus, who is a man 6 feet tall and trim, a Caucasian with a neatly trimmed beard who wears clean clothing. Would I have recognized the Son of God who had no beauty or majesty? Would you? And for that matter, how can anyone be certain, be absolutely sure of recognizing God? Paul says in Romans 1 that God's invisible qualities are evident, that they can be deduced from creation, that men ought to know that there is a God and that they are therefore without excuse for their sinfulness. And if you can make a case for God from the evidence for intelligent design, or if you can make a case for God from the fact that people have consciences, well, you may be able to prove that there is a God, but you have not yet recognized him. Luke records what Paul says in Acts 13, that many witnesses saw Jesus after Easter. And we know from history that some of those men and women died insisting on the truth of their testimony. We also know that the chief priests had only to produce Jesus' body to destroy Christianity forever. And they couldn't. Now, you and I may be able to demonstrate that the tomb was empty. Even the Jews had to admit that. You and I may even believe in a resurrected Lord, but we have not yet recognized the Son of God. David says in Psalm 3, he invites us to taste and to see that the Lord is good. Well, once a week, an elder hands you a piece of bread, a small disc that is mostly flavorless, maybe just a little bit salty. And then you're given a sip of port, which is a strong and sweet wine. Once a week, you taste God. But even an unbeliever can eat this meal, though, as Paul says, not to his benefit. You may taste the body and blood of Jesus and still not recognize the Son of God. Jesus says repeatedly in his earthly ministry, "He who has ears, let him hear." And certainly, God has revealed himself through his word. God has privileged our ears above every other organ because it is through our ears that we hear the gospel, that we hear the word of God. And as Paul says, faith comes through hearing. But nevertheless, Paul also said in today's reading that the very Jews in Jerusalem who condemned Jesus had heard the scriptures every single week. They did not recognize Jesus, though they knew the scriptures, because they did not understand them. Well, it is critical then that we understand the scriptures. Critical that we read them. Critical that we learn them. Read them over and over. Memorize them. Mull over them and wrestle with the Word of God. But, as Luther said, it would take over 100 lifetimes to exhaust our study of scripture. So, who then can know God? Who can be certain of recognizing God? It is so critical that we have an answer to that question. And the answer is simple, actually, because God in His mercy has given us a token by which we may know Him. He's given us a name and a sign by which we can recognize God. You see, God always reveals Himself in a certain way. And when God comes down and interacts with us in history, He is always the God who saves. That is how the Israelites knew Him. That was His identity to the Israelites. He was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. As if it was all one word. And even that was just a foreshadowing of Good Friday and Easter, when Jesus died for us to save us. God has made it so that there is one name under heaven by which we may know Him, the name Jesus, which so fittingly means Yahweh saves. So where will you find God and how will you know God? You will always find Him at the cross. You will always find Him there, giving His life for you, giving His righteousness to you, giving you the peace that passes understanding. That is how He has chosen to make Himself known. In the book of Revelation, John sees what it will be like in heaven. And there, all the saints and angels are singing, "Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who is slain." For all eternity, the Son of God will be known as the God who died for us. And when John recorded that Thomas didn't believe, and Jesus appeared to Thomas, Thomas put his hands in his hands and his hand in his side. Jesus was raised with the nail scars in His hands because that is how God chose to make Himself known. As the God who dies. As the God who dies to save. As the God who dies for you. And it is really those two words that everything comes down to. For you. And that brings us back to Mary. Mary, who recognized her Lord when He called her by name. Because our God comes to us and reveals Himself to us where He gives us His gifts, where He offers Himself. And where that is the same place where He calls us by name. The Word in the sacraments. When you hear, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit," or when you hear the words, "Your sins are forgiven," or when you hear the words, and maybe these especially, "This is my body given for you," then you may be certain that God is addressing you personally, is calling you by name, and you know that at that moment, you are hearing the voice of Jesus. It's by those words that we recognize God. And then, every week, and then in eternity, and then the moment comes. The eclipse passes, the sun bursts across your memories, and those old familiar words that you hear every week, the things that you can almost tune out because you know them so well, Those old familiar words are matched with the living God whom you already know very well. Amen.